Isn't it good to see some sunshine? And the psalm that says, the Lord is a sun and a shield, no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Okay, I want to share a little something. Sort of seems inspired, though it's not directly scripture. Maybe people have seen this and I don't even know who to give the credit to for such a posting. If I can find it quick again, yes. We were singing Yahweh, Yahweh. And remember, in Scripture, it was just YHWH. So we had to come up with a way we could say it, right? And so I'd seen this posting, and I thought it was kind of neat. That it says, there was a moment when Moses had the nerve to ask God, what is his name? And God was gracious enough to answer, and the name he gave is recorded in the original Hebrew as YHWH. And so over time, we've just added the A and the E, so we get Yahweh, because we'd like vowels. But scholars and rabbis have noted that the letters YHWH represent breathing sounds, or aspirated consonants, so pronounced without any intervening vowels, could it not be sounding just like breathing, YH, and exhaling, oh, Yahweh. So a baby's first cry, his first breath, speaks the name of God. A deep sigh calls his name, or a groan or a gasp that's too heavy for just words. Even an atheist might speak his name unaware that this very breath is giving a constant acknowledgement to God. And likewise, when someone leaves this earth with their last breath, it's, and the name of God is no longer filling their lungs, at least not here. So when I can't utter anything else, is my cry calling out his name? Being alive means I speak his name constantly. Is it heard the loudest when I'm the quietest? Or in sadness when we breathe a heavy sigh? Or in joy when our lungs feel almost like they would burst? Or in fear we hold our breath and have to be told, breathe slowly and calm down. We're about to do something hard, so we take a deep breath to find our courage. When I think about it, breathing is giving him praise, even in the hardest moments. This is so beautiful and just fills us with emotion when we grasp the thought God chose to give himself a name that we can't help but speak every moment we're alive. All of us, always, everywhere, waking, sleeping, breathing with the name of God on our lips. And it says, by Sandra Thurman Caporeal, whoever she might be, but thank you and for sharing that, however that was put together. And apologies for stealing it, but maybe it is a blessing to somebody. Amen. Well, let's pray. We're in a thought and a worshipful time. Father, Lord, we want to just take the songs we've sung today as prayer, Father. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. And Lord, we just look to you, Father. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to just come down, Father, and to move, Lord. And we just lift up, I think especially of our nation and all the distressing things that the world is shaking. We sang about that. And it seems like everything that can be shaken is being shaken, but you are our rock. And so, Lord, we look to you, and we just ask that you would move mightily, Father, Lord, to work in this, in the world situation, Father. We think of what's going on in Eastern Europe and Russia and Ukraine and the leaders there. Father, we pray that you would intervene, Father, and that you would bring wisdom and peace and diffuse the situation, Father. And for our country and for Canada, Father, so much happening, Lord. And we just pray that you would just give encouragement and strength to your people, that you would use these situations to turn people to you. That is our only hope, Father. And Father, that you would give us believers wisdom, Lord, and opportunity to share, Father, and to just cling to you and point others to you. We pray that you would expose, you've been exposing evil and demonic plans. And Father, we just pray that you would just continue to expose evil. And Lord, let truth be lifted up and to shine through, Father. And we pray that you would just do this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to pray over our missions march too, that we are about to take the offering for, and that you would bless all of our missionaries. We think especially today of the work of the Rahema Home and Irv and Ruth and all the workers and helpers there. We pray that you would provide and strengthen their work. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we take the offering here, we'll find a couple of folks to help me out. But there's lots of announcements, and they're pretty much all in your bulletin. So be sure to get one. Colorful stuff there. Don't have anything really outside of the bulletin, but we'll hit some of the highlights besides our regular activities here through the week, where we have men's Bible study on Monday and our prayer meeting here on Wednesday evening. So men's Bible study Monday 6 to 8, prayer meeting here 7 till about 8:30 or thereabouts. And next week, that's the 27th, that's when we are going to have our annual business meeting. And so you have an announcement inside your bulletin about that, that we're going to have a light lunch after church. And there were two documents. Everybody that's got email will have received those as attachments. Or you can just grab printed copies that are on the desk out there in the lobby. You'll find the minutes from last year's meeting and then all of the departmental reports for this year's activity. So grab those and be familiar with those before the meeting. And if you have any questions or discussion points, bring them to the meeting with you. Because we're not going to read all that stuff that's kind of been our practice for years. We don't read all that stuff out loud. It just takes a lot of time, and so people can be familiar with what's in there and discuss when we get to the meeting. And of course, we always have to receive last year's minutes as records of the church documentation. Then we have a community service tonight at Wellsville Bible Church. I think we used to call that Singspiration. Now it's called Community Worship Service, but it is at 6 o'clock tonight for just people from all the different churches in the area to gather at the Wellsville Bible Church out there on the Andover Road, 6 o'clock. Then we have other upcoming things. Soup for Souls, a soup and pie fundraiser. Ooh, and there's a lot of foodie things. I told David, foodie stuff here in the bulletin. March 13th after church, and those donations are to support 2022 Operation Christmas Child, the shoe boxes. If you want to supply soup or pie for the fundraiser, get a hold of Kathy Dunham, and her number is there in the bulletin. Let her know by this Friday, the 25th, if you can help on that. And one more thing, another foodie. If you would like to help, we would like to gather up about six people on a roster here, not all at once, but looking for six people willing to organize casual fellowship after church. So each pair, each person or couple would be responsible for just one or two fellowships throughout the whole year. But if you could sign up, look at that, you can turn in your bulletin. Put your name down and say, I will help organize the fellowship I am interested in, a simple coffee and baked goods fellowship, or a light lunch fellowship. You can pick an either or. So be aware of that. And I think that covers everything. And one other note about the helping for fellowships, you don't have to fund it yourself. If you can, if you want. But church finances are available to help fund that. So if you would like to be part of it, let us know. Amen. Okay. I'll have a couple of folks to help with the offering. Hey, Curtis, could I maybe call on you? And look at that, Eric kind of raised his hand. So we'll take these. And remember, if you're giving to missions for Hemahome, this is the time to put that into the offering. All right. Thank you, Lord, for your provision to us. We pray your blessing on the gifts given and wisdom and how we use it here at this church. Multiply it, we pray, in your use. In Jesus' name, amen.
There I am. In regards to the fellowships that Brother Ed was sharing, we had attended for some time a church that had, all they did was they had a couple that would offer after a service, and they would just have coffee. That was it. They would have tea or coffee, and people would go out and get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, but then they would linger and they would share and they would talk and fellowship, and you'd see somebody praying for somebody over here, or it was just wonderful, wonderful times to just kind of outside of, talking a little bit before church or maybe here or there or for a brief moment afterward. It just gives us an opportunity. So if you could help us facilitate that, it would be wonderful. And the more the merrier. That means we actually, the load gets spread around, and it's just not as much of a responsibility for just one or two people. So we'd love to do that, but it can be a very simple. It can just be have a cup of coffee and stand and visit, share with somebody. It can always be more elaborate if we have somebody who's really ambitious and they want to do something. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Have you noticed that sometimes simple is better, easier, and yet good things can flow out of that when you avail yourself of the body of Christ and with a little bit of extra time. So, amen. Yes, we did have a lot of food items in the bulletin today, but you're not allowed to think about lunch yet. Please don't. See, I shouldn't even say it. As soon as you say it, it's over. Okay, so today I have an interesting slide for you. You can put it up. Shay, I'm going to have you put my first PowerPoint slide up, if you would. And I would title my message today, Ready for Battle. Check out that eagle. Check out the snake. Who do you think's going to win?
Eagle.
It's interesting that the scripture talks about eagles. There's quite a bit in the scripture about eagles, and sometimes it talks about God and being this like the strength of an eagle. Sometimes the scripture talks about the judgment of God coming against people like an eagle swooping down. But today I'd like to look at how the Lord compares us to an eagle. And I have two scriptures I'd like to look at, beginning in Psalm 103. And I've cut a few verses out in the middle. You're, of course, welcome to look at the entire thing, but I simply have blessed the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name, who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, when the eagle gets worn down and maybe is a little battered from battle, the eagle knows how to go off. It will isolate itself. It will actually go off somewhere. It'll pull out all of its feathers and get in a really sunny place, and it'll actually stay there for sometimes weeks until its strength is renewed, until its feathers grow back, or that it's recovered and its strength is back in full force. You know that God is able to do that with you and I? You know, even Jesus had times where He had to separate Himself. It said He would go off sometimes into the mountain, get away from everybody, and be renewed like the eagle. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait upon the Lord will, and here it is again, renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. An eagle in many cultures is the symbol of strength. In our nation, we think of the bald eagle, but there are a lot of different kinds of eagles, and they are all kind of have different shapes and personalities. But one thing that marks all of them is that they are what's called an apex predator. Do you know what an apex predator is? It means they're at the top. Nobody's feeding on them. They're feeding on everybody else. So when God talks about us mounting up like with wings like eagles, what is that saying about where God has placed us? It means we don't have to get eaten. How many of you like getting eaten? I don't like getting eaten. The only way we're going to get eaten is if we let ourselves get eaten. God wants us to find that apex position. Wow. An eagle can soar, just get up and soar. You'll watch an eagle, they won't even flap their wings. They just get up and they just, because they have learned to feel the wind thermals, the air thermals, and the warmer air will just carry them up. If an eagle flapped its wings a lot, it would exhaust itself, and an eagle would literally die from overexertion. But they've learned how to just ride the current. And isn't it cool that in the Spirit, God's given us that picture? You can sense the Holy Spirit and move as the Spirit leads, as the Holy Spirit guides, if you follow in with Him. Eagles, you don't want to get attacked by an eagle. An eagle can attack, and boy, have they got talons. But an eagle is also a very patient predator. An eagle will look down, and an eagle can see for like a mile. They can see way off. And it might zero in on a rabbit. Now, a rabbit's going to sense, uh-oh, something's watching me, something's up, and it'll zip into a hole. That eagle will wait and watch. And that rabbit might wait in the hole for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then eventually it'll come out and the eagle's there. And you know, an eagle can fly up to 100 miles an hour. They are fast. Boom! And that rabbit's going to be Hoss and Pfeffer for the little eaglets. It's going to get it. It can attack, and it's very patient. Can you see yourself as that eagle in God? Do you see yourself as a warrior? There's a particular kind of eagle, the brown snake eagle. and they are nasty birds. They are something else, and they will go after snakes. And interestingly enough, a snake will attempt to quietly slither up that tree, work its way up until it can get into the nest when the eagle's not there, and prey upon the eagle's young or upon its eggs. But heaven help the snake that's there and the eagle comes back. Boy, the brown snake eagle is ferocious, and it's got talons like armor, these thick scales. And it'll grab onto that snake, and pardon me if this is a little gross and graphic, but it will crush that snake's head in its beak, or it will literally rip the head off of that snake. He'll take it up. Sometimes they'll shake it to death. You'll see him shake that snake, or they'll take it up and at high and drop the thing on a rock. But a snake that gets caught by a brown snake eagle, it's done. It's over. It's not going anywhere any farther. How many of you would like to be able to have that kind of ferocity with your serpent enemy? Go after it. But you know that subterfuge that comes with the enemy, how he tries to sneak up. There's an entire government report written about ground assault. I know, because I was reading through it yesterday. It lost me after a while because I'm not military in nature. But the name of their report was "Snake in an Eagle's Nest." And it talked about the effectiveness of subterfuge in ground assault. And I thought, isn't that how the devil tries to attack us? By not making a direct assault, but by sneaking in, kind of waiting and looking to see when he can get in. But, ooh, God, make me a brown snake eagle. Take the head off of that thing. But I want to encourage you today to see yourself as a warrior. We don't normally think of ourselves like that. We think of ourselves as a Christian, as kind people, as intercessors, as people that help. We reach out the gospel. We try to love people and help people. But you're also called to be a warrior. You are called to be a warrior. And the reason you're called to be a warrior is because there is a war. And if Christians don't know that they're in a war, then that's like a civilian who ends up standing in the middle of the battlefield. Hey, what's going on out here? Guess what happens? If you don't know that we're in a battle, you are at a serious disadvantage. And to compound that, it's an unseen battle, because we're not fighting people. I'm not fighting against personalities and people as much as they may be difficult. It's a different battle. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And as much as we don't see that, that is reality. The spirit world that we do not see is every bit as real and tangible. The problem is we don't see it. We have to accept that it's there by faith and walk in that. It's interesting, he talks about we wrestle. Some of your translations might say struggle. Struggle is not the essence of that Greek word. The essence of it is wrestle. And it's, where did I write it down? Pale. It means to fight, have a conflict, a contest, or to wrestle. Wrestling requires training. It requires work and effort on behalf of the soldier, on behalf of the contestant. Maybe on the job training, sometimes, especially in the spirit, it feels like that. But wrestling, when Paul uses this term wrestling in the time of the Ephesians, it conjures up for them a very different picture than what wrestling is today. If you go to a high school wrestling match, you know, they come out in their garb and their helmets, and they've got a referee, and they grapple, and the idea is to get one guy down. They try to pin him, or they try to get a takedown. They try to score as many points as they can. And in some ways, it's a very refined sport. That is not what happened back then. Wrestling back then, oh! Pancratium is what they called it. And it was part of the early Olympics. It was a type of ground wrestling. I hate to tell you what it involved. This wrestling, that when Paul said wrestle, the Ephesians were thinking of these wrestling matches where the wrestlers would get in and they would snap each other's fingers, they would snap their limbs, they would gouge out each other's eyes, they would strangle each other. It was gruesome, and there was no time limit on it, so the match did not end until one person either could not go anymore or they surrender. And to surrender in those matches was disgrace, especially in the Roman culture. It was disgraceful. If you gave up somehow in there before you were finished, sometimes people died, but they tried, the opponents tried not to kill each other, because if one of them actually killed the other one, the one who dies is automatically crowned the winner. And as ghoulish as this seems, they actually pick the dead person up and they put the crown on him, because it means they gave everything and they win! And the other person is in humiliation even though they won the match. Well, just insane. The stories that I read, I wouldn't even want to... They make for something that you don't want to read on Halloween. It's just awful. But all the stuff they did, strangle and tear and pound. So this is the kind of thing when Paul's talking about wrestling. But this is not what we do to people. This is what we're supposed to do to the enemy, the enemy of our soul. You know, have no mercy, because your enemy will have no mercy on you. Don't think he's going to be polite. Don't you think he's going to have mercy on you? He's that horrible slithering snake that will come up that tree and eat the young. Eat the eggs. Pray on the weak ones. That's why it's so important in the body that we have people with a pastoral heart that look out after people. You know, you notice somehow, you know, I as the pastor, if I miss somebody one week and you notice they're not there, you know, call them. Find, how are you doing? What's going on? You don't want people to get isolated. You don't want people to have a chance to get separated from the flock. The scripture says our enemy goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who does he devour? The one that gets separated. He didn't come march and charge in at the whole pack. Waits to see who's going to be separated. And boy, do we see this tactic today. Our enemy attacks the weak and the vulnerable. Just look at abortion. That is a demonic attack. That is a wicked, horrible, demonic, bloodthirsty attack. And at the root of that is demonic activity. I don't hate the abortion doctors. I don't hate those nurses. I pray for them. But I hate the spirit behind that, that would murder innocent, defenseless children. And that's who the devil goes after. We have demonic doctrines being taught in our schools. And mind you, they are demonic. And I'm not, my focus is not the people so much that are teaching them, although I want to stand for what's true and what's truth, but it's the demonic spirit behind that, the expression of wickedness that wants to prey on children's minds. Kids who are raised up and brought up in church, and then they go off to college and some liberal professor teaches them some kind of foolishness, and they leave feeling like there is no God and they can do whatever they want with their life, and they're essentially shipwrecked. And our enemy is ruthless and merciless. He's unfair. He's slanderous and is out to maim and kill and destroy, just like in those awful wrestling matches. In our battle against spiritual darkness, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. I hope you're prepared. I want to talk to you today a little bit about how to be prepared. And we're going to look at this over a series of weeks. Oh, I forgot to tell you, though. I'm not going to be sharing anymore on this next week, because Brother Tom Frizzell is going to be bringing the word next week. You'll be blessed. God's spoken to him. And I really was hoping to hear from him before he takes off on his trip. The trip is going to happen, by the way. Take that, COVID. The trip is going to happen. He's going to be able to minister to people. A little bit abbreviated, I guess. You can share with us next week. But Brother Tom will be bringing the word next week, and I'm really, really excited to have him do that. So in our battle against spiritual darkness, preparation and being ready and not showing our enemy any mercy. Not people. We love people. But principalities and powers of darkness. That's why heaven helped that snake that gets caught in the brown snake eagle's nest. Destroy it. So to kind of help you to get in the mindset of where I am, let's look at 2 Timothy. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there. But I have a lot of these scriptures up. And yes, I have a lot of scriptures today. But I love the Word. I love looking into it and hitting it from many points. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You know, when you get saved, they tell you, come to Jesus, confess your sins, he'll forgive you and he'll give you a new life. They don't tell you you're getting drafted. And nobody told me I was getting drafted. It's like, wait a minute, I have to be a soldier? Yeah. Yeah, you do. You have to be a soldier. It says, endure hardness, join in suffering, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word hardness is kakopathio. Wow. Greek is not my strong point. Kakopathio. It means to suffer trouble. And it's a part of war. We're called to do battle. And verse 4 talks about discipline. Not getting tangled up in the world's affairs so that we can focus on what's really important. That discipline to battle. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Our weapons, spiritual, are spiritual weapons. In a natural war, your enemy wants you to be dead or maimed or out of the battle. And the interesting thing in natural war is that if a soldier gets wounded, it takes 2 to 4 other soldiers to carry him out. So see, in war, it's way more effective to wound a soldier than it is to kill him. Because then they get tied up with having to tend all of these wounded soldiers instead of engaging the enemy. And in the spiritual war, thankfully, when we're in Christ, the enemy can't kill you spiritually. You're already dead. ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. So the enemy wants to wound you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to get in and find some place to neutralize you by hurting you. He can't kill you, but he really wants to hurt you. He can attack you with lies. It maybe attack you through other people, create doubt to hinder your prayers, tempt you to sin, maybe tempt you to sin enough to lose your reputation. We know that's happened. Or keep you wounded so that other people have to tend you and take care of you instead of being in the battle, or instead of you being in the battle, or you standing up and teaching others and helping them. So the enemy is very, very happy to keep us in a miserable, wounded state if he can. So what's the answer to resisting the enemy victoriously and avoiding all of those wounds? Well, lots of you could probably teach this at this point, because you know where I'm going. I think you know where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. And you can click to the next. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, and with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. It's interesting that, first of all, it says, if we go back to, can you back up one slide? Sorry. Be strong in the Lord. Right off the top, he says, be strong. When he says to be strong, really, that's not a very good translation. It literally means to be strengthened. If you've heard of if you've been in a charismatic church for very long, you've heard the Greek word dunamis. It means it's where we get the word power or dynamite. And we in charismatic circles we like dunamis. We want the power of God. Well, this here is the Greek word endunamu. And it doesn't mean be strong. It means be endued with power, to receive power, to be strengthened in union with the Lord. So it's not our strength. Sometimes I read that and I thought, okay, come on, Dave, man up. Come on, be strong, tough. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I learned that lesson this week. I learned that lesson last week, too. I had a couple of times where the devil, he's such a stinker. He knows where you've got a sore spot. And he had no trouble poking it. Oh, when my sore spot got poked a couple times. I'm not going to tell you that much about it, but, oh! And I felt a little wounded. And when you feel a little wounded, sometimes you have a little pity party for yourself. Oh, booey hooey for me. You know it's true. You know it's true. We all fall into it. I do. But that's where those little darts get into you, and it neutralizes you. You're not good for anything then. Oh, man. Oh, it made me so mad when I realized I'd fallen for that again. Oh. So it is His power, His strength, because in ourselves we don't have that. So His mighty power. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says this is where Jehoshaphat was going to go to war. And the prophet came and said, the battle is not going to be yours. It is the Lord's battle. It's His. And that's the story where we know where He sent the worshipers out first, and all of the enemy was arrayed against each other, and they all helped, all their enemies helped kill each other. And Israel went in and plundered. I would like to say it would be great if it happened like that all the time. And it did that time. Wow. So, but they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That's fava, to wait, to literally to wait for. What Israel did at that time was they did not go to battle. They waited for God. It's important that we take the time to wait for the Lord. Do you understand the principle there? Waiting instead of doing. Mary was waiting. Martha was doing. Jesus said, Martha, get out of the kitchen. We'll eat later. They that wait, kava, to wait for upon the Lord shall renew their strength. As that story was in 2 Chronicles, it's not always that way. Sometimes Israel has to fight. But the principle here is that part of being strengthened in the Lord in battle is just worship. Being strengthened in Him, worshiping Him. John 15, abide in, Jesus says, abide in me. He said, without me you can do nothing. So we have to wait on God. We have to wait in Him. I really like Isaiah 30, verses 31 and 32. This is really fun. For at the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be terrified. And the king of Assyria, often in scriptures, is looked at as a principality or a power of darkness. For the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be terrified when He strikes with the rod, and every blow of the rod of punishment which the Lord will lay on him will be with the music of tambourines and lyres. And in battles, brandishing weapons, he will fight them. So what's happening here? God is giving the enemy a beating, and somebody is playing musical instruments. It's worship. Yeah. You know, this morning when we worshiped, we gave the devil another beating. He gave him a black eye. Let him have it. Wow. So, but we are, in verse 11, admonished to put on the full armor. And if you didn't get the message, in verse 13 he says again, take up the full armor. Isn't it interesting that he puts that emphasis there? The armor is to be worn like clothing. It's meant to be put on once for all and not taken off. You know that brown snake eagle? It's got those armored claws. The brown snake eagle, unlike some of the other eagles, it has these thick scales that the snake can't bite through it. And done. Oh, Jesus. The armor is meant to be worn. The Greek scholar, there's a Greek scholar, his name was Kenneth, I'm not sure how to say his name, West, I think he's pronounced. He was involved in Bible translation. I think he was involved in the translation of the New American Standard, but a real Greek scholar. He stated that the Greek language construction here, when he says putting on the full armor. That the Greek language construction issues a command given with military snap and curtness, a command to be obeyed at once and once for all. Thus, the Christian is to take up and put on all the armor of God as a once-for-all act and keep that armor on during the entire course of his life, not relaxing the discipline necessary for the constant use of such protection. That was his take from the Greek inflection of all this. I'm going to read it one more time. We're going to close pretty quick today. But he stated that the Greek language construction issues a command given with military snap and curtness, a command to be obeyed at once and once for all. Thus, the Christian is to take up and put on all the armor of God as a once-for-all act and keep that armor on during the entire course of his life, not relaxing the discipline necessary for the constant use of such protection. Ooh, put it on and keep it on and be ready. Be ready. Verse 14, we're told to stand. Oops, sorry, Shay, one more now. I'm jumping back. I had to split it between two screens and it's hard to switch back and forth. Stand firm, then. So, stand, that Greek word is, if I can say it, enthistemi. It literally means not giving up any ground. Not stepping back, not giving in. It doesn't even necessarily indicate forward motion. It means hold your place and don't give up an inch. Hold your ground. Wow. In his strength. Remember Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's where we get that. So, but we must put on the whole armor, the full armor. How many police officers have died because they had their nightstick and they had their pistol, but they didn't put their vest on? They're missing something. Maybe they had the vest on and they didn't bring their gun. Something happened. The devil is waiting to see what we forget to put on and attack us there. Yeah, and it happens. So we have to be able to stand in the evil day. And what verse was that? I can't remember. We got to close for today. I had the idea that we were going to get into the belt of truth, but I'm afraid you'll belt me if I go on. Verse 13, take therefore up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And that word evil is very telling. That word evil is poneo. It's where we get the word porno or pornography. It means to be twisted and warped that it literally means moral degeneracy, lewdness, grievous, malicious, wicked, hateful. And our society, with the level of moral degeneracy and lewdness, some people have become vicious and hateful. And we stand and withstand by refusing to buy into those lies of the devil, by refusing to do that. We would stand by calling the world to repentance and faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Yes, sins. I want to make sure that gets on the recording. Yes, sins. You can call it something else. There's lots of names for it now. You can call it something else and write it off as ancient mind manipulation by some blue-nosed Victorian prudes. But it's still sins. They're sins, and that is the very essence of them. And people don't like to call it that anymore. At school. No. It's just being recorded. I'm not going to say that. Moving right along. Dean is so good. He realizes where I need something to be removed. Wow. Withstanding is staying on the narrow path and calling to those on the broad path of destruction. That's it. Don't give up your ground. The belt of truth, wanted to look at that. We'll start, and I'd like to walk down through the different pieces of armor. But I want to encourage you today to change your mindset and understand that, yes, you are a missionary to the world. Yes, you are called to love people. You're called to bring the gospel of peace, but you're also called to be a warrior. And you're called to stand, to have your tools, to have your armor on, and to know that you can fight because it's His strength. It's His grace. He's able to give it to us as we wait on Him. Father, we thank You today, Lord, that inside of us, You have put Your Spirit that teaches us not only to love people, to worship God, to wait upon You, to bring the gospel that longs to see lives changed and people reached. But inside of us, You've also put that brown snake eagle that sees that awful serpent and wants to take it apart. And God, we pray that You would give us grace in the battle, first to understand our enemy, to understand that his desire is to wound us. But yet we have tools. We can stand firm. We can stand strong against the onslaught of the enemy. Father, give us grace to see our place in the battle. Help us, Father, with the places where we battle personally with the enemy, in our families, in our marriages, in our community, in our nation. Father, our heart's desire is to not only see You pour out, but to see the kingdom of darkness torn down and broken in people's lives. Father, we thank You that You can. Thanks be to God that all causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that we can walk in victory even as we battle, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. I'm going to be looking forward to looking into more of that as we go. The armor is a fascinating thing. And you know, as I've studied this, I really thought I knew what all of that armor was and what it meant. Wow. So we have some good things in store. If you're here today and you need prayer, we are excited and eager to pray for you. And if you have a need, and we believe God for His power to work in you. And if not, God bless you. Have a great week. But if you're here for prayer and you would like, there will be people here to believe God with you and to do battle with you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you.